from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. In Sacramento, a bill that gives the state more oversight over vaccine exemptions for school kids made it past its final vote yesterday. But it's unclear whether Governor Gavin Newsom will sign it. KQED's Katie Orr has more.
The Senate floor debate over SB 276 was lively, with those opposing the measure often yelling and chanting from the chamber's viewing gallery, including after the final vote was taken.
We will be removing you from the chamber.
The bill requires more oversight for medical exemptions, including those from doctors who grant five or more in a year. But even though it's passed through the legislature, Governor Newsom is calling for several changes his office says clarify the exemption and appeals process. His office says they've been working on the amendments for weeks. But the bill's author, Senator Richard Pan, says he was never contacted about the additional changes. He says Newsom had already pledged his support for the measure as it's currently written.
We came to an agreement. That's the version of the bill that's before you. This is the bill that the governor's office agreed to and said that they would commit to sign.
The governor's proposed changes would need to be taken up in a companion bill, and the legislature would need to act quickly. The session ends for the year next week. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
We turn now to the latest on Monday's dive boat tragedy off the Channel Islands. In its first full day of investigations, the National Transportation Safety Board conducted several interviews with survivors of the fire, which killed 34 people. Those interviews include the boat's captain. The NTSB's Jennifer Homendy met with families of the victims for 2 hours to answer their questions. She said teams are documenting the wreckage.
And that documentation is occurring with side scan sonar so that they are actually mapping the wreckage before it is moved.
Homendy confirmed there are plans underway to salvage the dive boat. Communities all around the state have been touched by Monday's tragedy. Reporter Erica Mahoney from KAZU spoke with people in the diving community in Santa Cruz.
Emily Zimmel co-owns Adventure Sports Unlimited near downtown Santa Cruz. She sits by the pool of her dive shop. She leads scuba trips to the Channel Islands, just like Worldwide Diving Adventures, also based in Santa Cruz. That's the company that chartered the Conception. Being in the same business, Zimmel knew Christy Finstad from Worldwide Diving Adventures. Finstad is among the 34 people presumed dead.
I know that Christy was a bright soul, and she had a lot to offer to this diving world.
Zimmel has co-chartered boats with the Finstads, including an annual scuba trip off Big Sur. She found out about the tragedy while she herself was leading a dive trip south of the Channel Islands.
You know, we figured out it was Christy that was leading the expedition, and yeah, that's when I really cried. I cried really hard.
This past weekend, Zimmel happened to be out at sea on a boat called the Vision, owned by Truth Aquatics, which also operated the Conception. Zimmel says, like passengers aboard the Conception, they also celebrated birthdays and had a wonderful time. But she says, by some grace of God, they got up the next morning. For the California Report, I'm Erica Mahoney in Santa Cruz.
As state legislators near the finish line for this year's session, a bill that's gotten national attention would make it harder for companies like Uber and Lyft to classify workers as independent contractors. What AB 5 hasn't gotten nearly as much attention for is the impact it would have on the newspaper industry. San Francisco Chronicle editor-in-chief Audrey Cooper joins me now to talk about the collateral damage this would deal to her paper and others. Good morning.
Good morning.
You say that AB 5, this issue, is keeping you up at night.
It is absolutely keeping me up at night. I mean, I don't think people understand that this is the newspaper industry in particular, but all media, whether you're talking about radio outlets or online outlets, none of us are making a lot of money right now. And the cost to the Chronicle that we have been able to guess at is greater than the profit of our company. And unique to newspapers is also this idea of the newspaper delivery carriers. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing most people don't understand is that newspapers share drivers. So we are delivering the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and Tsingtao Daily, all of these different publications. And our papers are delivered by other companies, so like the Sacramento Bee in Sacramento. Our company is pretty healthy. Not all newspapers are like that. And if you require delivery drivers to become full-time employees, it changes 40 years of practice where they're independent carriers right now.
You're one of the larger players. How do you think this will impact a smaller newspaper?
Well, we still have a lot of journalists, and we have a lot of news to give people. So it's possible we could, you know, add to the cost of a subscription. Right now, it costs about $20 in just newsprint and delivery costs and ink to get a newspaper to your door. That doesn't include the cost of the journalist and everything
else. That's your cost of doing
business. My cost of just raw materials to get a newspaper to your door. If that cost goes up by $100 or $200 a year, you're going to have fewer people taking the newspaper, particularly in areas, I'm afraid, that are more rural and more dispersed, because those drivers, you don't have as many routes to carry. So the cost of that is very high. And when you add to that spotty Wi-Fi, I mean, we're talking about this bill, I think, will create immediate vast news deserts in California. And that means journalists who are not going out, going to their city council meetings, investigating things, speaking truth to power, and providing a check on the government.
Yeah, and we already have a number of news deserts in this state as it is. Audrey Cooper, editor-in-chief of the San Francisco Chronicle, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
State Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara is under fire again this morning. Just a day after he agreed to stop taking donations from his industry amid criticism, Politico is reporting that Lara has been charging rent for his second residence in Sacramento to taxpayers. Reporter Carla Maranucci joins me now to discuss her scoop. Hey, Carla.
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you, Lily.
Good to have you. Well, you filed a Freedom of Information Act request to get Commissioner Lara's expense records. What exactly did you find?
Yeah, I mean, what we found is that he has been charging thousands of dollars to the state taxpayers. The entries that we found through the state controller's office showed monthly reimbursement for lodging and rental costs, some of them ranging up to $3,200.
A month, yes.
And the insurance commissioner's office said that these were for lodging, airfare, and per diem costs. We noticed billings specified as railroad fare once a month from Lara, ranging from about $570 to $700 a month. And when we asked about that, the spokesman for the insurance commissioner's office said that was actually for lodging. Mm-hmm. That was actually for rent on a second apartment, a small studio apartment that the insurance commissioner rents in Sacramento for $700 a month.
And his primary home is in L.A., we should note. Not that this would make taxpayers feel any better about this necessarily, but is this common practice among politicians to, you know, if you need to have a second residence, to charge that to taxpayers?
No, we couldn't find any precedent for this. The insurance commissioner, Steve Poizner, lives in the Bay Area. He didn't charge. State officials are allowed to seek reimbursement for costs of doing business. But if it's a personal gain, that is a second residence, that seems to cross the line. I should note that the insurance commissioner's office says that they checked with their own legal staff, and the legal staff gave them the okay on that. They insist that these are fair charges because, given the travel and other demands associated with his position, that the insurance commissioner is back and forth to the state capitol a lot. But the fact is that many experts looking at this are saying those are questionable charges.
All right. Carla Maranucci from Politico, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We reached out to Commissioner Lara's office, who tells us that the commissioner is actually saving taxpayers money by avoiding the high cost of flying back and forth between L.A. and Sacramento, and insists that nothing here violates state laws.
Support for the California Report comes from Energy Upgrade California, urging Californians to keep it golden by saving energy through simple acts like adjusting the thermostat a few degrees. EnergyUpgradeCalifornia.org. Hint Water. Hint is water infused with fruit essences, including watermelon and blackberry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in grocery stores. Hint, mouth-watering water. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
Two men have been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder in Los Angeles for allegedly starting a wildfire near a homeless encampment. This took place near the neighborhood of Eagle Rock and nearby Glendale. This fire jumped a freeway and actually got very close to some homes in a canyon, but only ended up burning about 45 acres. KCRW's Cherry Glazer has more.
Investigators say evidence shows the blaze was started intentionally. Someone inside a pickup truck reportedly exchanged words with people at a homeless camp and then tossed an incendiary device toward the encampment. Brian Araujo Cabrera and Daniel Noguera were arrested at a home just blocks away and have now been booked. This comes as the L.A. City Council is giving police authority to move homeless people out of brushy areas on days when the fire risk is high. Councilmember Mike Bonin.
I want to make sure as we do this to protect housed and unhoused that we also remember that there are people who are homeless who are not just starting a fire but are also being victimized by them.
In a separate incident, a homeless man recently died of his injuries after his tent was set on fire on L.A.'s Skid Row. For the California Report, I'm Cherry Glazer.
And that's the California Report for this Thursday, September 5th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Jamali. Thanks for listening.